Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Now across from Ekholm to Bouchard. Reinhardt with the steal. Nice move. Comes to the net. Scores!
Sam Reinhardt. 4 goals last night. Back-to-back cup wins for him, Matthew Tkachuk, and the rest of the Florida Panthers. They beat the Edmonton Oilers, who go back-to-back losses in the Stanley Cup Final last year and this year. Sal Capaccio with you back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Got a treat for you today. Got my guy Bulldog on the Western Hotline. We're going to reverse roles a little bit. I said, Bulldog, you're always asking me questions about the Bills. I want to bring you on and ask you some damn questions. How's that sound, pal?
I need a fancy open, though. Where's my old WBEN theme song? That's what I needed there, Sal. I needed to go onto the interwebs and find that for us.
No idea where it is. We're going to call Steve Cishon right now and find that. We are going to do that. I promise you. Right. Hey, tomorrow I'm playing golf in Batavia for Eric Woods Foundation near the Evan Wood Fund. And I'm looking, and it's super windy, like 20 to 30 mile per hour winds tomorrow. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate playing golf in the wind. You play a lot of golf. Is that also like, do you just hate it in the wind? Do you like me? Or are you like, nah, it's okay?
Sal, the wind is since I haven't been a runner in a long time, but when I started running, I don't know, like 2009, 2010, and then injured myself to the point where I couldn't run anymore after trying to keep running, which was a horrible mistake. I started cycling, and now that I'm golfing, the wind, give me anything else. Wind, yeah. I despise the wind. I'm a baby about it. I totally admit it. I'll get up in the morning on a day like today, and if it's like this windy, I'm looking out my windows right now and the trees are blowing, I won't go ride my bike outside. I don't enjoy it. I hate eating the wind. I hated it when I was running. I hate it when I'm bicycling, and I truly hate it when I'm golfing. I know I'm not going to go ride my bike or play golf in the snow, but I would rather it be 0 degrees and snowing with no wind than 40 and windy.
I totally hear you. I mean, it's going to be fun anyway, no matter what. So, sure. We'll be out there doing it, and it's for a great cause. But, man, I'm like, of all the days, right? We got some really hot days coming up. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be windy. I actually literally have not heard back yet. I just texted Pat Hammer recently, shortly, and said, a little while ago, and I said, hey, are we talking sustained winds or just some gusts 20 to 30? I need to know what to be prepared for here, how to dress. for this golf outing tomorrow. All right, so Chris Bulldog Parker joining me here. Obviously, co-host of Show Up in the Bulldog here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Last night's win, everything in totality with the Florida Panthers, Sam Reinhardt winning, another Sabre winning another cup. I know he won last year. How much of it does it speak to you about the Sabres last night? Look, this is sports. Guys go on. He went to another team. He won. Or how much, did you watch that thinking about the Sabres and ruining it?
As I'm watching it, I don't find myself thinking about the Sabres. When it's time to reflect on it, when it's over, and like this morning, and I'm seeing like Sneaky Joe and Jeremy from our morning show, just having creative, which I appreciate, ways to look at like the differences in the organizations, the choices that have been made, then I start thinking about it. I mean, I did see a segment from the YouTube version of the show today where Joe was imagining a world where they kept everybody together long enough. Really, Eichel, Reinhardt, I guess you could include O'Reilly in that too, long enough, well, although you wouldn't have Tage Thompson if you'd done that, but still, kept it all long enough for guys to mature and grow, Dahlin to emerge as a top-flight defenseman, and what would that have looked like? And I, I don't know. I can't even. It makes my brain go tilt. Dude, this is so. It's just so far off to me. Yes, everything that happens in hockey that is successful, whether it involves former Sabres or not, shines a light on the futility of the Sabres to me. So I guess yes and no is my answer, or no and yes. While I'm watching it, I don't think about it. But afterwards, like now, reflecting on it, it's impossible to avoid thinking about the Sabres within it because they feel like about a million miles away from it.
I was really struck last night when Sam Bennett won the Conn Smythe about how I'm like, man, Sam Bennett, 2014, like he's been in this league 11 years, right? 12 years, basically.
Right, it's the same Reinhardt draft. Reinhardt, yes. Ekblad, Bennett, all in the top five of that draft. Dreisaitl's the only outlier there, and he's on the other team.
That's
but
right.
Yeah, that's the top three out of the top four in that draft, I think.
And then it kind of just dawned on me, and I know it's kind of funny. Sam Bennett's still only 28 years old. He came in at 18. I had to look that up. I'm like, wait a minute. He seemed like this grizzled vet, you know, with the Conn Smythe trophy. But you know what I think really kind of came into more crystal clear focus for me last night, and you tell me how you feel, is, boy, it does take a while in hockey. And I talked with your son about this earlier, right? We talk about goalies, but it kind of does. Like, yeah, Reinhardt was a good player here, but look what's happening. These guys are in their prime now, and they've been in the league 10-plus years.
I think Bennett is the best example of that. Because Reinhardt, I think, he didn't smash while he was here right away, but I think you could kind of see it. Ekblad immediately is a cornerstone player for the Florida Panthers. Dreisaitl immediately is one of the best players in the world on the Edmonton Oilers, you know, once he gets teamed up with McDavid, and that's just kind of off to the races. Bennett was kind of in the wilderness. It took a little while. He was looking like the most busty, I would say, of those top picks. It really wasn't until he got in a spot where they could find the exact right role for him, and he kind of leaned into this sort of productive playoff dirtbag guy, and like he is just he's the envy. Whoever's going to get him is going to feel great about getting like the definition of a playoff player, because he's not even right. He's not even like a 60-point guy in the regular season, but he's going to be paid like maybe an 80 or 90-point guy in the regular season because of the playoff performances and the grit, the willingness to do just about anything that it takes. I mean, we can be mad at it if he's elbowing our guy in the jaw and knocking him out with a concussion, or sucker punching Brad Marchand last year in the playoffs when Brad was still on the Bruins.
Yeah.
He's over the line a lot, but it's one of those dudes that, you know, if he's on your team, you're like, I just love him. He's so determined. He'll do whatever it takes. You know, if you're playing against him, you look at it and think, that was disgusting. I can't root for that. He ran the goalie again. But, you know, that's hockey.
Yeah, and the Sabres, when you think about their roster and how it's constructed, you know, when you think about guys like Bennett, Reinhardt, these guys that have been around a little while, yeah, they have some guys that are like in their late 20s. But, you know, this is what I just said to Owen and Josh a little while ago, last hour. When I hear, oh, the Sabres are the youngest franchise in the league, my response now is, again? Who cares?
Right.
Like, there's something to be said for young talent, Bulldog, right? But I think what's really happening here, when you think about how things have gone for these recent cup champions, is, yeah, it's nice, but where are you getting your guys who've been around and can be a part of the kind of group that can lead them, not just be the talent?
Right. You know, what you mentioned, like Bennett and his draft and how it kind of blows your mind how long he's been in the league and yet he's still just 28 years old during these playoffs. Right. This is time passing, and someone like me who's going to be 60 in a couple of weeks not wanting to recognize how quickly it goes by sometimes. I heard during these playoffs, Edmonton was one of the oldest teams in the league this year, roster-wise. And when I heard the announcer say that during a game, it was just like in the flow of play, you know? They didn't dwell on it. They didn't show a graphic or anything, so I don't remember if it was the oldest or third oldest, but it was one of the oldest groups in the league. And I thought, well, McDavid just got there. Wait, that was 10 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing.
And Dreisaitl was the year before that, and it's just crazy. Yeah, being the youngest team, I think we're all done with that here.
Yep.
You know, and the promise that it shows. Because, you know, what's the promise? The promise is worthless. You got to do it. You got to get in. You got to prove that you belong. And being the youngest, I think, almost provably is not going to get it done these days in the NHL. The league has kind of swung back. You know, for a while, I appreciated and really didn't mind the Sabres' willingness to draft the similar type of a smallish, skilled, good skating forward. Okay, that's fine. The game is leaning that way, and I'm good with it. And in the span of like 5 years, it has swung back to big, mean, physical, you know, not fighting, but there's an edge to the game now that Florida has brought with them, that Edmonton has learned how to play with, that Dallas has, that the if you're going to compete, you have got to have a physicality there that the Sabres just are miles from right now.
So what's the play then? You think about the Sabres offseason, and I know that they have a lot of restrictions with guys as far as wanting to be here and having their own choices and no movement clauses. I get that, but you look at Marner, you look at Bennett, you look at Marchand, right? Are those two pie in the sky? Is there anyone you'd really want to make a run at, or is there another way to go about it?
Man, I don't know. I can't imagine a scenario where any one of those players you mentioned even takes a call, let alone really considers signing here. Why would you? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that where you end up is in a situation where you have to pay double the price for half the talent is where you are. And that's an exaggeration, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to get the best guys, and you're going to overpay for the other guys. And that is, I mean, that is borderline a hand tied behind your back. So I don't know what they're going to do or what the way forward should be, because I don't think it's very much like the Bills mid-drought where, you know, oh, Peyton Manning is going to leave Indianapolis. What? Yeah, the Bills, don't bother calling. He's not going to come here. That's what it feels like with the Sabres right now. I don't know how you get better trading away J.J. Paterka if it comes to that. I mean, I just don't know how you win that trade. You could, I suppose. It's possible. You get the right guy, and he, you know, replaces that production, and maybe then some. But I find it really hard to believe that that's going to happen. And, you know, I'm almost tempted, Sal, for them to, despite all their, you know, we only want guys who want to be here and all that really started when Reinhardt and Eichel and Ristolainen, to an extent, all got traded because it was clear they didn't want to stay here anymore. So the organization decided to fall back and regroup and come with this, you know, Alex Tuch grew up in the Syracuse area and like, oh, everybody is, you know, we're all going to sing songs and it's going to be great because everybody is going to be pulling the same rope and all that. Man, I think at this point, if I'm the Sabres, I've got all the leverage except for whether or not Paterka actually wants to commit. I might just flex every muscle I have and just say, fine, we're gonna qualify you, we're gonna bridge you, whatever we gotta do. If you wanna go to Germany, well then we lose. But that's really your only alternative other than playing for us. And I think you might have to just dare him and hope that you start winning enough that guys like him then decide, you know what, it is good here. I want to stay. Because I think if he doesn't want to stay and he gets traded, and I don't know what's going to happen with Alex Tuch. My antenna have been up ever since locker cleanout day with him. I don't mean to make something out of nothing, but him sounding the way he sounded, I haven't thought about it. I got to talk to my wife. You've been around locker cleanouts, yeah. Sal. You know what that sounds like, right? That is hardly, I can't wait to get started next year. I'm looking forward to committing to the organization and being a part of the solution and all that. It was not the opposite of that speech, but it certainly was not confirmation that he's comfortable with being the face of this. And I feel like if that guy doesn't want to stay, and again, I don't know that he doesn't. I'm just going on how he sounded, and that can be risky. I could be wrong. But if that guy doesn't want to stay, it's going to feel like time to turn the lights off.
Chris Bulldog Parker joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on the West Her Hotline. In a totally different bucket, you also have to deal with the Devin Levi situation. And I mean, it doesn't have to be contentious necessarily, but money-wise and what your vision for him is. And obviously it can be a two-way contract, but how would you go about playing the goaltender situation, his RFA status, and the roster?
Well, I mean, I don't think a contract should be that hard, and I'll challenge you. I don't think that he signs a two-way contract. He may end up in Rochester, but he gets paid whatever he's gonna get paid as an RFA when he goes to Rochester. He's that status of player. Two ways are more for guys that are borderline, and even though he isn't entrenched as an NHLer, I don't think he's either like some journeyman status that he just has to take that. So I don't think that'll happen, but I think they'll get him signed. I just don't know what you can hope for other than Luukkonen finds his groove back and Levi supports him. I suppose there's a big swing out there. Maybe you trade with Vancouver and get Thatcher Demko. Maybe you sign a veteran journeyman-type free agent to back up Luukkonen and let Levi keep playing in Rochester, because him being pushed in is not good. We've already watched that two different times, and it didn't end well. But it might be time for him to actually be in the NHL. So I'm open to that. I think they're in a really tough spot, considering that they just got Luukkonen signed to an extension. I think as much as you'd want to get better there, with all the other issues they've got, man, I'd be surprised if they ended up, and I don't think I can really advocate for a better idea right now than going forward with Luukkonen and Levi in goal. Mm-hmm. I just think you've committed to Luukkonen, and Levi, I think, could play 30 games, 40 games, you know, split time. Maybe he takes the job. I don't know. I just have a hard time seeing them pivot away from what they did with Luukkonen based on, you know, a pretty shaky year last year.
Are you still a Red Sox fan? Like, do you follow them closely? I'm curious about your thoughts on the Devers trade.
No. I mean, they're still the team I'm most interested in, but I don't, you know, I've got my ESPN app set up so that I get their scores every day at the top of the page. So I keep track, but I don't look at the standings. I don't know how many games back they are.
I'm the same way with the Lakers, by the way. It's exactly the way I am.
Like, it's not day to day, but you know, oh, the Red Sox are on. Okay. You know, no hockey game. Okay. Right. You know, I that'll get my attention, but no, really, the funny part about it is, well, not funny, really, it's kind of sad, is the last time they did this with a star player was Mookie Betts 5 years ago, and that was, I was already kind of on the ropes, Sal. I learned a lot about myself through the Red Sox winning as many times as they did. It was like four World Series titles from 04 to like 18, and that, I was in it for the desperation. I was in it for the pain, I think. Like, it kept me coming back. Once they won, I didn't feel it as much as I had prior to 04. And so I was already drifting. When they traded Mookie Betts, homegrown, awesome player, seemingly willing to do anything you want him to do, just an easy guy to root for, right? Little guy, but super talented, power, speed, defense, all of it. And they divested themselves of him. What are you doing? Like, you're acting like you're the Kansas City Royals or the Minnesota Twins or the Pirates. Like, you don't trade Mookie Betts if you're the Boston Red Sox, unless you're more worried about subsidizing your soccer adventures or your whatever else you're doing. I don't respect the organization. I don't know how the Devers thing will turn out. I do think it was a bad look for him to refuse to try to play first base. And now he's in San Francisco and going, I'll play wherever you want. I'll do anything. Anything goes. So maybe it's just the way the Red Sox handled it that warrants the criticism, more so than Devers being, not flexible. But it's gross. Like, if I were really day to day into them, like we all are into the Bills and Sabres, man, I'd be pissed about that trade.
I can imagine. Hey, I'm just pissed that the Yankees haven't scored in three straight games. They've been shut out for three straight games. It's unbelievable. Right. Going back to the Red Sox on Sunday, by the way, Chris Bulldog Parker, a couple more minutes with him. We'll talk more Bills when I'm on with Shopin' the Bulldog, because that happens frequently, obviously. Wanted to get his thoughts on some other things going on, but also the ride for Roswell is coming up. It says ride with Bulldog in the WGR team. What's the what's the training been like for you?
The training is the same as always, as long as it's not windy.
Mm-hmm.
On days when it is, you know, I don't want to go outside, I've got a trainer set up in the basement, and I do that for 90 minutes to 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. I kind of take the weekends off. And, in fact, I got up an hour earlier, because this is still, right now, as we're talking, is sort of in that workout window for me, and I wanted to make sure I was done by the time, you know, I was going to come on with you. So I got up a little earlier and did that already. I feel good. 45 miles for us. I mean, people do longer. There's 65 miles, even 100 miles, but we do 45. It's a week from this Saturday, and just a tremendous event. This is my fifth time in a row doing it. And I regret that I haven't been doing it the entire time. It's just so well run. It's really fun and it feels good. I mean, what could be better than that? It feels good to get the exercise. It feels good to be out with so many like-minded people that enjoy that kind of recreational activity. And the event, like the volunteers and everything about it, is just tremendous. The Peloton on Friday that rides from Roswell out to UB, where that is the staging area for the actual ride on Saturday, has been riding past my house for 25 years. And on Friday, it's Friday early evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always loved seeing it go by. I've never been a part of it because it's during my show, so I haven't taken a day off to do it. But it's just such a cool event. I really, really love it.
I have so much respect for you guys riding. I'll be on stage talking about it. I'll be helping to kick it off on stage. You'll be riding. But it's really cool how it's all come together. And I agree with you. And we went over to Roswell and we did a show out there recently. It was just amazing seeing how everything was put together from where this all began. And I didn't even realize it had been going on for as long as it has, almost a quarter century, basically.
Well, 30 years, yeah.
Over that, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, it is really tremendous. And I want to say on the air, because it's largely social media where I do my fundraising,
yeah.
But people out there, my Facebook friends, Twitter followers, even...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Folks on Blue Sky have helped me get to an all-time high fundraising, and I'm really, really happy about that. And obviously, it's everybody out there that's doing it for me and responding to the bat signal when I put it out there. But I'm really flattered and really, really proud to have so many people behind me and, of course, the whole ride.
Love it, love it. All right, before you go, I cannot believe this, but we did it. In fact, Josh did it. Here it is. From Steve C. Sean's page. I told you, that's where we'd find it.
Oh, no.
The Bulldog Open from WBEN. Here we go.
Bulldog, talking sports. He's Bulldog, talking sports.
Do I know the word?
I don't know. Oh.
Oh, wow.
All right, so I have a jingle that gets played.
You're making me cry.
Oh, this is amazing. And people, I have a jingle that gets played, and, people will send me videos of their kids singing the Sal Capaccio song. That one needs to be replayed and played more often for people to do the same thing because it's so catchy. Tell me the backstory on that.
Next question. I'm
okay.
Not here to talk about the past. I don't remember.
Okay.
I do not remember. Ken Kaufman used to, produce jingles, write jingles, and do a lot of stuff at the station back then. And I'm pretty sure that's him playing piano, but I don't know who's singing. But I'm pretty
amazing.
Sure I'm pretty sure he produced that. Ken Kaufman.
Tom Sitch did the Sal Capaccio jingle,
right.
And he was producing for you guys, and it was that song "Say Geronimo," right? That came out. I'm like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. And you know, it became kind of a thing where, oh, well, it's based on another song. I don't think that's, I think that's an original, right? I don't think that's based on another song. Right? I think that's an original.
I believe so. Yes.
That's amazing. I love it.
I hope I got some of that right about the origins. I really don't. I don't know. When I brought it up, I thought, "Oh no! If you find it and ask me, where I'm dead in the water over here."
Well, so. Josh did a great job, but now that we did this, you know we have it in our system now. Just so you know, now okay. It's in our system.
Well, next time you call me, Sal.
You got it, buddy. Hey, I'll see you next Saturday, if not before then. Great job on the ride for Roswell and getting the team together and doing what you're doing out there. And really, really proud, man. So thanks a lot for joining me today.
Thank you. I appreciate you mentioning that. And for all the riders out there, the thousands and thousands of riders out there, we thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. That is Chris Bulldog Parker here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That was great. That open backplate on WBEN back in the, late 90s, early 2000s, late 90s. There you go.
That was actually from 1996. There's like a 5-minute. Like thing with like other stuff from that day.
The final year of the odd, right? I think the final year of the odd, or the first year, it's the final year of the odd, right? 96 was when the Whalers. So 96 was like end of 96 and then opening of 96. And so both, right? I think that was it for the odd. All right, we'll take a time out here. We'll come back. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll get to you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I just am so lucky to be on this team with this group of guys. Just a special group, and we got to be a dynasty now. It's 3 years in a row, final two championships. This team is so special, and I just, Stanley Cup champion, this never gets old.
With all due respect to Matthew Tkachuk, I understand why he would say that. I do not agree that it's a dynasty. I think you need to win a third or have a very prolonged, sustained period of success with multiple, more than two. I think any more than two. Over a certain period of time. And I know they've gone to three. I used the example yesterday. I don't think we consider the Heat with LeBron James a dynasty. 4 years, four finals appearances, two wins. I don't think we consider that a dynasty. Maybe you do. But anyway, it's a good discussion. It's a good sports radio topic, right, for the summer. 803-0550, the number to call. What did you think about last night with the Panthers winning? What does it say about the Sabres to you, if anything? Mark in Coconut Creek, Florida. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for holding, by the way.
Hey, no problem. I was just, what you just said. I don't know, they may be a dynasty in today's age of free agency and the way things are set up. I mean, I see that as, I want to see the next team that wins two in a row. I'll be surprised if it happens, unless these guys three-peat. But anyway, sort of, I just wanted to, watching that game last night, I just kept thinking about the Sabres and just what a gap between those two teams. It's amazing. And then somebody mentioned to me about, and you probably know more about this, but the Sabres, I guess they're only $2 million above the floor, I guess. I think that's a $50 million floor. And they're $23 million under the cap. And the Panthers pay their top six forwards $25 million more than the Sabres' six top forwards. So, you know, we can get on Kevin Adams and these players, but you know, I think it all goes back to Pegula, how serious he is about having a hockey team down here. And you know, he may want to think about unloading this team if he's not going to get serious, because if he's just using it for a little tax break to offset the bill stuff, I just think we got to look more at Pegula if he's serious about having a hockey team down here. So just interested to hear your words on that. And great show as always, man. I got to get back to the elbow room and do some partying with the cup.
Man. You're rubbing it in down there. But thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I'll give some thoughts on this. You're not wrong. The Sabres are not spending as much as they can. They have an internal cap. I think that's clear. So I think you do need to see more of a commitment from that end, from the finances and resources. But if you look around the league, they are comparable actually to a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, actually, to be honest with you, like as far as some of the money spent. Now, I'm looking at Puckpedia. That's one of the websites you can go to. And I think they are taking into account some of the free agents and things like that. And I will say, once you do, Mark, factor in some of their RFAs and they tender them, that's going to really bump them up. So, yes, Mark, they do have all this cap space and they're not spending. They're going to have to eat that cap space up a lot with some of their RFAs, like J.J. Paterka, like Ryan McLeod, Devin Levi. Like, guys like that are going to be eating up into their cap space. So, yes, you're right. Like, you need to see, and I agree, more of a commitment from finances, from resources. We've talked about that over the years. I also think I take a look at like some of the cap space and where they are compared to other teams in the league. They have a lot of growth they can have. They have a lot of room that they can have that they can use. They're also not really, they're not like unique even for some teams that are some of the better teams in the league on how they're paying. I think it's about allocation of dollars is what it is. It's not necessarily just the dollars. It is the dollars. It's more about allocation of the dollars. What was the stat today that if you looked at what the Panthers did with their fourth line, Josh, I think like they're paying them pretty much peanuts. And then if you go way ahead, like you go to their top players, that's where they're kind of putting their resources and really making sure that they pay their guys. And look, Bobrovsky's making a lot of money too, right? I mean, that's a big deal as far as their goalie's concerned. So I understand. I think the overall point is right. You know, you need to see more of a commitment from the Sabres and resources and finances, and we'll see where that goes.
So the fourth line for the Panthers combined with their third pair on defense is like roughly, I think, around $4 million. And then Jeremy did the math for the Sabres, and the Sabres is about $9 million for the same positions.
Hmm. I mean, I'm looking at Puckpedia, and again, I don't know, like I have to... This is projected cap hit right now with counting like free agents that haven't been signed. You know who has a lot of room is the Jets, and look how good they were. Like Winnipeg's built a roster with not spending a ton of money, to be honest with you, right? Like there are teams like that. The Hurricanes are there. So the Maple Leafs are one of the teams right there with the Sabres, by the way. You'll have some of that money spent on some of their free agents that are coming up. The draft is a week from this weekend. So it's the next weekend. It's June 28th, 29th, I think, right? The first night is that Friday night. And then you get into Saturday with the NHL draft. We'll see. The Sabres have the number 9 pick overall. We'll see how all that shakes out. Here's one for you that I thought was interesting. This was, I saw a tweet and I replied to it in a way that I want to tell you too, which is this is from a radio host. I don't know if he does radio anymore, but somebody I follow still on social media. He used to do radio in Toronto. Real good guy named Greg Brady. He used to be up in Toronto radio. And he wrote yesterday, repeat Stanley Cup champs since 67-68 when they went to 12 teams. And you go back to 67-68, you start there. Canadians had two. Flyers had two in the 70s. Canadians had four in the 70s. Then the Islanders had four in the 80s. That's the first dynasty I remember, like I said. And then you had Oilers for two, separated by Oilers for two, then Penguins for two, Red Wings for two, Penguins for two, Lightning for two, Panthers for two. It's either like you get two and that's it. Nobody gets three or more. What's crazy is, totally off topic, the Oilers won 4 out of 5. The only thing that kind of kept them from winning was maybe Steve Smith's own goal off Grant Fuhr. If Steve Smith, now it was game 7 and it was a 2-2 game. They might not have won. But Josh, if Steve Smith, former assistant coach of the Sabres, by the way, doesn't shoot the puck in off his own goalie from behind the net as he's trying to clear, the Oilers might have won 5 in a row, and no one's ever done that in the NHL. In the expansion era, at least.
I didn't realize they were that close. I wasn't alive, so.
It's amazing, though, when you think about it, because you see Oilers, 84-85, Gap in 86, Oilers, 87-88. And you're like, oh my God, if Steve Smith doesn't have the own goal, they might win that series against the Flames, and they might wind up winning 5 in a row. They very well could have. I think they were the number one team that year, actually. I don't even know if the President's Trophy was a thing back then, but they were the number one team that year. But anyway, since then, the only repeat winners, Penguins in the early 90s, Red Wings in the late 90s, Penguins in 16-17, Lightning in 2021, Panthers. That's it. Now, I say that's it by, well, there's quite a few of those. That's, you only get 2 in a row, though. You're not allowed to win 3. You can go to 3. You can't win 3. So who's the next one? I saw some odds, early odds on the Panthers. I think they are the number one team. Let me look here real quick. I have to go make sure. The number one team. Oh, here's something fun for you, and funny, maybe. If you look at the Stanley Cup odds for next year, the Sabres are not last. You wouldn't expect them to be necessarily. Can you tell me that? You see it? Do you see it on my screen? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, according to this, from BetMGM, there are 4 teams below the Sabres right now for current Stanley Cup odds next year.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Do you want to guess the 4 teams?
Chicago.
Blackhawks, yes. They're the second, tied for the worst odds, sorry.
San Jose?
They're tied for the worst odds. Those are the two worst, yes.
All right, so then
who are the two teams?
More.
One, I'm like, really? Like, I didn't,
I kind of want to say Utah, but I don't think that's right.
No, they're
getting
not.
They're getting much better very quickly. Uh-huh. Oh, Pittsburgh.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Sabres have better odds as of right now to win the Cup next year than the Pittsburgh freaking Penguins.
Well, there's
hang the banner, baby. I love that.
There's all these sources and insiders around the NHL being like, yeah, apparently the Penguins are the only team that's being considered as rebuilders amongst NHLers.
It's
amongst
amazing,
the
right?
NHL community.
And yet they're still holding on to Crosby and Malkin.
Right.
I think they're in this spot. I'll talk about the Penguins in a second. The last team, though, actually, Tim, I'm a little surprised that the Sabres can't beat this team.
Ooh, Philadelphia.
No.
Well, they can't beat Philadelphia. But
other conference.
Other conference. Seattle?
Yes. Seattle is listed at worse than the Sabres odds. Yeah.
Hmm.
And I don't...
That's interesting. I mean, they're not necessarily miles better than the Sabres, but I figured maybe they'd be a little higher than that.
I think the Penguins might not even be in a rebuild. I think literally, I'm not kidding. I think what the Penguins might be doing is saying, we just want to hold on to our stars for another year because fans love them and we're not going to be very good and that's okay.
Yeah, but
then we'll try to get better after that.
How much do fans really love that though?
They don't.
If you're a Penguins fan, yes, you love Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, but a part of you is probably like, hey, I don't want to A, see my team lose and B, see my favorite players lose.
I agree.
So why don't we just mutually part ways and, you know, call it quits. And because then
I think they're afraid of doing that, to be quite honest. They don't want to do it.
Think about it though. Like Crosby could go wherever and probably win. Same with Malkin. I mean, Malkin's probably just going to go back to Russia anyway. There's reports about that already that he's going to do it next year. But if you're a Penguins fan and you love these players and your team, I feel like at this point, with all the winning you've had and all the success you've had, it might be okay to just say, hey, we need to start this rebuild now. You can still go on and win, especially the guys like Crosby and Malkin, because not to say that they're, you know, spring chickens or anything, but they can definitely still compete on an NHL roster. Like we saw.
Oh,
that this
I don't disagree with that, especially Crosby, but.
But you can't have them be.
To me, the way I read it is their organization, they're so attached to they're so beloved, these players.
Right.
They kind of know in their heart they have to move on, even though Crosby's still really good. But they're just like, we're just not going to do it. We're not going to be that good anyway. Like we might, it's either kind of all in or all out. And, and like, hey, we'll let them just play and be great. And maybe, you never know. Look what happened with Marchand. You never know. You get to the deadline and you say to Crosby, dude, we're going to let you go somewhere and win if you want.
And also, look at Alex Ovechkin. Everyone was like, oh, well, the Capitals' sole reason now is just to get him to Gretzky's record and then that's it. But then the Capitals go on this crazy run this year and they go into the playoffs.
They did.
Like
everybody wants to be the Capitals when they get a little bit older and everybody thinks they're done and then suddenly they go on a run. Right?
Exactly. Like, yeah. So you never know.
It's kind of weird. Real quick, before we hit the last time out, the Panthers aren't the favorite for next year as of right now. They're not. Who do you think is? Who's the favorite to win the Cup as of right now?
Part of me wants to say Edmonton, but I'm going to say Dallas.
Dallas is fourth. Mm. Edmonton is number one.
Edmonton is? Okay. I thought maybe just
Colorado is number three.
Ooh.
Edmonton, Florida, Colorado, Dallas. The Oilers and Bills are living like the same existence. They just are, right? I mean, they have the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. The Bills are right there as the best odds to win the Super Bowl are right up there. They've been there. They've come so close. They can't close the deal. They have a super duper star in their sport.
Some say the best in the league.
Some say the best in the league at either one. That's right. I do say that about McDavid and Josh Allen, I think. I think I say that about Josh Allen. That's right. We'll roll with that as we had our last time out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Wrapping up your Wednesday after this time out. What do we leave on the bone today? Anything? Because I'm not going to be here for the rest of the week. Anything? I got a golf event tomorrow out of Batavia for the Eric Woods Foundation, the Evan Wood Fund over at Oshai Children's Hospital. That's going to be fun to play. So I'll do that. In the wind, it's all good. We'll do that.
There was Caitlin Clark getting beat up last night.
Well, she got poked in the eye and she got into a scuffle, right? I saw that a little bit. All right, listen. Have a great rest of your week. You got Josh and Zach and Derek and Joe and everybody's going to be around, right, for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show the next couple of days. And then I will be back with you on Monday. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live follows that. And then Chope and the Bulldog at 3. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday and week here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.